Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, recently I was reading a very interesting book that described how we got to our present cultural state and the development of our moral attitudes in our modern world. The book was a book of historical analysis, and it was attempting to explain how, in fact, our very secularist and pluralistic society developed. There were many interesting ideas that emerged from this analysis. But there was one phrase that the author used that struck me very forcibly. He was making a contrast between an earlier Christian understanding of how we should live with how we actually live today in the present. And he labeled the earlier Christian understanding as an attempt to live the good life. Whereas now in our present culture, what so often we live is the goods life. And I should like to talk a little about the contrast between those two phrases, the good life and the goods life. The good life was traditionally defined as a life of the virtues, those virtues which allowed us to develop our human personality, to achieve a sense of our dignity, and to fulfill two principal responsibilities of the Christian believer. The first is to attain everlasting life, and the second is to promote the human flourishing of persons here in a society, here on earth. That is, pursuing the common good. Now, the common good must be understood very precisely. First of all, it is common. That is, it is or should be available to all human persons equally. But it also must be the good. And in pursuing that common good, in understanding that as human persons, we live in a community which calls forth from us a responsibility not only to our own lives, but to the lives of others. And that requires a pursuit of the good, of the virtues of prudence and temperance and justice and courage, as well as for the believing Christian in living those gifts of God, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The life of the virtues, the pursuit of the good life, brings meaning and direction. And it also affords us that profound gift of peace. And in understanding the meaning of our lives, the direction that we ought to give to them, we are buoyed by the virtue of hope. That whatever good we do, no matter how seemingly small, is a true contribution to the common good, to our good, and our future salvation. In contrast to pursuing the good life, the author tells about how in our own time we are pursuing the goods life. A sense that happiness lies in the acquisition of more and more possessions, of more and more public stature, or even of more and more power. That life is defined by what we can acquire, by what we possess. And it comes to understanding what we mean by success. Success in the goods life seems determined not by an integrated personality, but by the material possessions which surround us. I have found that even when people speak about education, I find that its meaning is almost exclusively oriented toward economic realities rather than toward the human development of persons. How often when we talk about educational reform, we mention the fact that we need a new generation of people who can contribute to the economic well-being of our country, competing with others in the economic sphere. How very rarely do we talk about education as preparing a human person to live authentically in a human community, undertake civic responsibility and good stewardship. But we, I think, so quickly come to realize that in pursuing the goods life, we begin to experience how things and their maintenance take over our days and our thoughts, even though ultimately they fail us. How quickly we come to believe that we need something larger, something bigger, something shiny. And when we obtain that, we still have that hunger and that thirst for something that is real, that cannot be fulfilled by anything we might own, but rather by something that we can become. And in the goods life, what ultimately happens is that we lose a sense of authentic moral reality, a sense of absolute right and wrong. And although people are reluctant to see this or admit it, that in such an atmosphere, the only final judge is power, and the virtues fade away. Now, obviously, in our own time, we should be very deeply thankful that our economic development has achieved so much, has moved toward the eradication of desperate poverty, that our medical advances have brought us health of mind and body. And we must avoid becoming what in the 19th century were called Luddites, those who feared the machines and therefore tried to destroy them, thinking this would preserve the good life. But a rather famous Catholic novelist, about 30 years ago, asked a very interesting question. He asked why, in the midst of such material prosperity, such extraordinary longevity of life and medical health, why are so many people unhappy? And why is the growth industry that of therapy? And that interesting question brings us back to the question about whether we are pursuing the good life or simply the goods life. In this regard, in our own faith, we realize that fundamentally we must encounter the person of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, we find not only the final revelation of God's will for us, but also we meet the true human individual, what it means to live a human life, to be touched by the grace of God, to understand the life we are to lead and our own responsibilities to others. And in the pursuit of the good life, the embrace of the virtues, the understanding of our responsibilities, we live a life that is oriented toward God and toward the good of others. And in order, I think, to achieve this good life, in the midst of a society that is pursuing the goods life, we must pursue a virtue that often is not mentioned or talked about, and that is the virtue of detachment. Now, not all of us are called to give witness to the life of Christ by achieving a life of poverty. But all of us are called to a life of detachment, which is, very simply stated, a life in which we use material things rather than are used by them. That we possess these material realities in order to achieve a more authentic moral and intellectual and social life. And by detachment, we avoid that great fear and temptation of being possessed by what we thought we possessed. And in achieving a kind of material well-being, we must not allow ourselves to forget that ultimately, in the end and for all eternity, we are determined by the moral quality of our lives and by the love of God that we manifest.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.